Now, if you do an online search for food poisoning in Australia and the headlines just jump off the page, do it right now if you like. Dozens hit by suspected salmonella outbreak at Brisbane Principals Conference. Two people treated in Taz Hospital for shellfish poisoning. Dirty food mixer blamed for salmonella outbreak in South Australia. Raw egg mayonnaise blamed for Langham Hotel outbreak. And it goes on. According to the New South Wales Food Authority, there's almost 5.5 million cases of food poisoning across the country every year. And as the temperatures rise for summer, I'm going to take a guess that we're entering peak poisoning season. So really, is there any better time to have an Australian Food Safety Week? I don't think so. Lydia Buchtman is from the Food Safety Information Council. And Lydia, a new survey has shown that we all have these huge gaps in our knowledge about what poses a threat if we eat it. In fact, all of us in the office were astounded at some of the myths that were exposed in all this.
And very timely, of course, Michael, because most of us probably got to the office this morning and opened up the fridge, had a sniff of the milk and thought, oh, that's a bit off. But surprisingly, it's not that off milk that's likely to give you food poisoning, because milk is pasteurised. By the time it's smelling bad, it's just sign that it's spoiling. It's not likely to make you sick. So while it's not a good idea to drink it, the pasteurisation in milk makes it a very safe product, in fact.
So we all think we've done the right thing in avoiding food poisoning by throwing out the off milk. But in fact, we're missing some of the essentials in other parts of the fridge.
Yes, and what we found with our recent survey is a lot of people aren't recognising the risk of raw egg dishes. Now, I'm blaming all these fancy chef programs on TV, ABC as well.
Oh, no, we're the exception. I blame SBS, principally.
Yes, of course. So all those trendy things, the aiolis, the homemade mayonnaise, the things with raw eggs in it, and people forget that eggs do actually come out of chickens' bottoms. They can be contaminated on the outside. Now, of course, commercially sold eggs, it's illegal to sell them if they're cracked or they're dirty. But you need to be particularly careful if you are breaking an egg open, not to contaminate what's outside the shell on the inside. And they can it can
How
be quite
How do you do that,
risky.
Though? How do you do that?
A couple of things we suggest. One is, firstly, don't make these raw egg dishes for people who are very vulnerable. So the elderly, little tiny kids, if you're pregnant, they can be quite risky if you've got immune problems. So avoid them entirely for that. If you don't want to make them, make small batches of these trendy mayonnaises right. or aiolis and use a plastic egg separator. So you're not doing that, flip the egg through the shell thing to separate it so the outside doesn't contaminate the inside.
And could you actually wash the egg, Lydia, in something that would actually kill bacteria? Before you open up the shell, I mean?
No, we don't sort of recommend washing eggs. They have been commercially washed.
Okay.
If you do have your own backyard chooks, which a lot of people are doing these days, and that's great for the kids because you know where eggs do come from, carefully brush off any poop from the outside of the eggs or feathers and so forth, anything that looks dirty.
I can tell you right now, from the moment you said they came out of chooks' bottoms, of course, we all know this, but the fact you've enunciated on national radio means that none of us will be eating an egg now for at least for 2 or 3 days, I'm thinking. Yes, everyone's nodding in the studio, yes.
Yeah. So the real risk is having them in something that's really uncooked or very slightly cooked like a mousse. But no, if you're boiling an egg, it's just a googly soft-boiled egg, it's pretty safe, so you are okay.
Okay, so uncooked egg products is obviously a danger area, but some of the other myths that you've actually blown apart for all of us in reading about this for Food Safety Week, one of the ones that let's go through them all because I fell foul of every one of these. I thought the last meal you ate would always be the culprit.
And it always makes you, probably because you have thrown it up to introduce vomiting to the discussion too, you always blame the last thing you ate. But sometimes food poisoning can take, a week or even weeks to eventuate. And it makes it very hard to trace back some of these outbreaks that you do get because it could be quite a while ago. It depends on what sort of food poisoning it is. And some things like the very nasty listeria, which can affect unborn babies, that can take a long time to up to 90 days to show up. So it's not necessarily the last thing you ate. It could be a while ago.
Oh, okay. So that must make it very difficult for regulators to prosecute in some cases too.
Yes, look, I really do admire the local environmental health officers who work for your local council or local government. They do a great job in tracing these things back. If you recall the frozen berry outbreak earlier this year, it was really hard to actually make that link, but everybody who got that hepatitis A had consumed frozen berries at some stage. So it's pretty clever. I don't know how they do it. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, let alone what I ate a week ago.
Well, I can tell you I won't be having eggs tomorrow for breakfast after your little talk. Now, when it comes to chicken, when you have a chicken, one of the tips I've always been told is if you stick a skewer into the chicken and the juices run clear, then the inside is cooked. Correct?
Look, it's not something we recommend now. It is used to be an indicator, but really the only way you can tell if chicken's cooked all the way through is by using a meat thermometer. And it's such a cheap investment. Now, it's the other myth we have, though. It's really hard to avoid food poisoning, but some simple tools, you know, go down to your kitchen shop, pick up a meat thermometer and pop it into the thickest bit of the chicken you're cooking, whether it's the middle of a breast or whether it's a leg and a whole chicken, and check that it's got to an internal 75 degrees Celsius, and then you know you're completely safe, rather than guessing if it's pink or the juices are unclear.
Okay.
And certainly don't taste it to see if it's done. That's
well, that'd be silly, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That would be silly, but I'm sure people do it. On to myth number three, that food poisoning is mild and just a bit of gastro. Can you just remind us about some of the really serious outcomes every year affecting Australians?
Yes, and look, we got a really new study about this. It came out about this time last year from the ANU that looked at the risk of food poisoning each year, very extensive one. And it found on average in a year there's 4.1 million cases of food poisoning in Australia. It gives you sort of a 1 in 5 chance of getting it each year. And 32,000 people end up in hospital. It's so serious.
32,000 admissions to hospital.
Yes,
wow.
86 people actually die, which is very sad. And 1 million people end up going to their doctors. You know, that's a big strain on the health system for things that can be so easily fixed by simple things like just washing your hands with running water and soap and drying thoroughly before you handle food.
And the other things that really astonish me, that food poisoning in extreme forms can cause reactive arthritis, kidney and nerve damage, and also, as we know with berries, in this case, hepatitis as well.
Yeah, so if you look at the sad case of the Garibaldi Metworth poisoning back in the mid-90s, one child died as a result from that. Others ended up with kidney damage. And, you know, some of those kids have had transplants or be on dialysis for the rest of their lives. So it can be a very serious thing and can, as we say, leave you with reactive arthritis, which is not a very nice symptom to have.
Now, one of the other myths that may have been clung to by vegetarians is that it's those nasty carnivores who succumb mostly to food poisoning. Not so.
Yes, we have the odd smug person that emails us and says, I'm a vegetarian. and look, there are things, I've mentioned the berries, but one of the thoughts that food poisoning is quite high is because we actually are eating healthier. We're eating lots more salads. If you think back, you know, 20 years or more ago, we ate, you know, things that were really boiled and cooked to charredness, so you know, it kills all the bugs, it kills all the nutrition too.
Yeah.
But these days, lots of healthy fruit, veggies, salads, things where the bugs can grow if you do leave them there. So there are things that are risky for vegetarians. People forget cooked rice and cooked pasta. And
yeah, now tell us about this.
Grow in that.
Yeah, what's this toxin that can grow in cooked rice and pasta?
Yes, so if you let cooked rice or pasta cool slowly, if you don't refrigerate it straight away, there's a bacteria that can cause a toxin. And even if you reheat that rice, and reheating normally kills food poisoning bugs, it doesn't get rid of this toxin and you can end up with a really nasty food poisoning. So be particularly careful with cooked rice. It seems to be one of those things people like to leave out of a fridge if the fridge is full. So if you've got leftover cooked rice, as soon as it stops steaming, divide it into small portions so it cools quickly, pop it in the fridge, or better still, label it and put it in the freezer.
So it's fine as long as it's still reasonably warm by the time it gets to the fridge or freezer.
Yeah, and this is another myth that you can't sort of refrigerate things while they're still hot. So if you've got leftovers, don't wait till they just stop steaming. You can still pop them in the fridge while they're hot. But do divide them into those small portions because they will cool a lot quicker and pop them in the fridge or freezer. If it's in the fridge, they will not last forever.
No, that's leftovers. A good point. What about in a rice cooker? Is that a good place to store rice for a little while?
No, really. As soon as it stopped cooking, and this is quite a risk, people tend to leave their rice cookers there, and that's perfect. It's sort of like a little petri dish for growing bugs. Once again, as soon as you finish cooking, as soon as it stops steaming, divide it up, pop it in the fridge or the freezer.
My guest here is Lydia Buchtmann from the Food Safety Information Council, and we may be blowing apart some of your preconceptions about what's safe and not safe when it comes to food handling and food consumption. It certainly has for me. Now, Lydia's already mentioned that if you're going to make mayonnaise using raw egg, make it in small amounts and eat it at the moment of making, and then don't leave it around, because those raw egg products can really turn nasty indeed within the body after a while. So just think about that. So you may not get the great flavours in the commercial versions, but at least they tend to have vinegars, don't they, Lydia, that keep things like bacteria at bay.
Yeah, much more shelf-stable. And look, I have to admit, I don't think people really notice the difference if you spent hours slaving over a homemade mayonnaise or not. So, you know, perhaps if you're catering for a lot of people, it's much easier to use it out of a jar.
Now, another one I always thought was you cannot refreeze partially defrosted chicken.
Yes, and from a safety point of view, it's actually fine to refreeze. And we pop this in because we get a lot of, I call them dinner time panic phone calls from people who say, oh gosh, I've defrosted this steak and we're not going to use it tonight. Well, I have to throw it out. So certainly at home, if you've defrosted it, and I do stress if you've defrosted it in a fridge and you have checked your fridge is running at 5 degrees Celsius or below, and another plug for popping out and buying a proper thermometer to check your fridge is running at the right temperature. It's no good if it's running at 12 degrees. So if you defrosted it in the fridge, okay. It is okay to refreeze that piece of meat or chicken again, but it might have lost a little bit of quality. You'll notice probably that, you know, it's a bit runnier. You've got a few more juices coming out of it. It'll be a bit watery. That's because the cells break down when you freeze and refreeze.
Right.
Your other option, of course, is just to cook up that spare meat you've got into a dish and divide it and refreeze it again is another option there. But from a safety point of view, it's not too bad to refreeze a product like that.
Lydia, I think these are all really essential points. And if anyone's like us in the team that makes this program, you would have been going, I never knew most of the things you've just revealed to us. So we'll put all six tips for some of the myths that need to be exploded about food safety up on our site, if that's all right with you, this afternoon, and provide links also into the Food Safety Information Council. And good luck with the rest of this week.
And thanks for that. And just a little reminder, we don't actually get any government grants at the moment, so we are a charity, so anyone feels like donating, particularly the 4.1 million people who got food poisoning in the course of the last 12 months, don't forget, we could always do that bit of extra funding.
Nice, nice plug. Well done. Lydia Buchtmann on the line there from Canberra. She's from the Food Safety Information Council. I'll put links up to the council website if you feel like donating, because as you've just heard, they're a charity, not for profit, and their information, it seems, is far more essential than perhaps we've given credence to in the past. I know it blew my mind this morning.